You're listening to the British Baseball Podcast. And joining me on today's edition of the British Baseball Podcast, I'm very happy to have alongside me two guests representing the East of England Baseball League. First up, we have Dan Sewell, who is the manager of the Cambridge Royals. Dan, how are we?
Yeah, not too bad.
Excellent. And alongside him is Martin Maloney, who is the co-manager of the Northants Centurions. Martin, how's things?
Hey, all good, all good. Glad to be on.
Lovely stuff. Excellent. Thank you for agreeing to come on the show and talk about your clubs. So, as I like to do with these team reviews, I like to get to know my guests a little better before we go into the meat of the episode. So, Martin, what was the allure of baseball for you? How did you get to where you are?
It starts quite a while back for me as a cricketer. So I used to live in town, live out the east of town now. I used to live in town a couple of roads down from the county ground where Northants play. And the team I played for, we'd go and do cricket nets there on a Thursday night. So we go and do cricket nets. We'd often stop in the bar very late, me and my mate, to the point that we used to have to climb over the gates to get out. And we get back, and I think it was right. Channel 5 would show recorded baseball games, but there was no helpful kind of intro. So I want to talk about the rules, so we sort of got it. And we sort of just too low to bed, and the lads had stayed up late. And someone had some friends in New York, so worked out how the phone calls were. We pretty much got right. Think we know about hitting the ball, you know, it's just like rounders at school. Balls and strikes. Couldn't get that at all. So they started ringing people in New York. And I'm told, and this story, you know, it's about probably 15, 16, 18 years ago. They said the 27th person that they asked said, "Are you serious?" And they're like, "Yes, look, please, we just want to know the difference between a ball and a strike. We're English, we're drunk, we're watching the game." And fair play, this bloke talked my mates through it. Next time I watched it, they were explaining it to me. And it sort of stuck. And I'm like, well, I quite like this. And I think it got to about 2006, 7. And when there were games on cable, I discovered MLB.com and then Fantasy. And once I had Fantasy and then an MLB account where you'd have your it's a very unsophisticated sort of fantasy, but you'd be able to flick between games as your players were coming up to hit. I was absolutely hooked. It was like, wow, this is for me. But at this point, I didn't have a team. No notion of a team at all. And fast forward to 2010, and I was working away up in Middlesbrough. I was staying away during the week, wasn't spending much money, coming back on weekends, and went out with my mate who'd been, I think he had a fallout with his boss, and he'd been put on gardening leave from the university he worked at. And we watched some rugby league because we're both St Helens fans, and he said, "You got any plans for summer?" And I'm like, "Well, no, I'm not one of nature's planners." And he said, "Well, I thought not." He said, "I've taken the liberty of preparing a couple of schedules." And he just plopped in front of me. Here's a tour effectively around the south of America, mainly doing minor league baseball. And here's a trip to Chicago, followed by a trip to Seattle. And I was like, well, I might never go to the States again. I want to see the major leagues. So we went to Chicago. I remember thinking, wow, this is a pretty impressive place. But getting the train up from, we were staying in the center, and although he's a White Sox fan, the Cubs were at home. Getting the train up, as you start to see the backs of the bleachers and some of the artwork, oh man, tear in my eye, heart pumping. And we watched a series between the Cubs and the Phillies. Really, really enjoyed it. It was good. Met two guys, two old boys that we just met in a bar somewhere. One was a massive Cubs fan. One was a massive White Sox fan. I think the White Sox fan, as I recall, I think he was, he worked for the UN. He was involved in stuff to do with war crimes. These were very serious folk away from here. But when it came to sport, they'd be sat in a bar taking the mickey out of the other one's team. It was just wonderful stuff. So we really got the vibe there. But then we flew up to Seattle, and we got there. And I think the first day off, we got a few hours keeping in the hotel, walked out, saw a bar called Sport, where we're staying. Went in there, met a couple of guys. The bartender, was just like, we kind of warmed to him. He warmed to us. We're like, okay, this is good. We were like, you know, we'd gone through customs. So I said, what's the purpose of your visit? And a very big, scary coppers. And say, well, drinking beer and watching baseball. That seemed to kind of ease your passage into the country. But we got to Seattle, met up with some really good mates there, based ourselves in this bar, and watched this team, the 2010 Mariners, just abysmal. And it became quite legendary. We were there for probably about 10 days that, you know, I was like, I'm loving my baseball, but did not have a team. And everyone was like, well, you've got to support my team, And eventually, two nights from the end, and I've done the whole English thing where people ask questions about cricket, and before you know it, you've got the salt and pepper pots everywhere. And I think then I worked out one of the because I think we always think the obscure stuff with cricket, what's silly mid off and things like that. I think when I just dropped in, and the batsman hits, and then if the batsman decides to run or not, but everyone's like, what? And I said, well, yeah, you don't have to run. And it was something all these Americans were, cricket's confused. It's like, no, cricket's weird. We get it now. But that seems really stupid to us. So we had that. And I think the following night, I think we watched the Mariners get spanked again. And it was like, I think I've got a team. And it was like, right, got the mic. I think, if I remember rightly, got the microphone. And he said, well, why have you got a team? And who is it? I said, well, it's the Mariners. And it was like, hey. I said, I'll be horrible. I support Northampton Town home and away. And they're awful. I said, but I love the people I see. I said, this is just like that, only over here. So I was kind of totally hooked. And then I think fast forward again to 2014, popped up on my Facebook that there was a team in Northants, and they played in Claret and Gold, which I was just like, whoa, I like the look of that. Went training at back end of that season, was god awful. I remember the first thing I did in training was try to throw a ball to Paul Rancer, our head coach, club president. Smacked him in the ankle with it and thought, I think he said we've got a bit of work to do here. But played a tournament at the end of the season up at Leicester, and pretty much, well, I've been there ever since. Broke my cheekbone the very final week of pre-season training the following season. So missed a game, then played with the mask for a few. But really, you know, couldn't be without it now. Just absolutely love it. And, you know, very lucky in that we've kind of... And we'll probably talk about it later, but you know, we're playing a sport that I think we develop be more fun and developmental and bringing people in than just something about, well, there's some big guys going to hit the ball really hard and you're going to get pummeled. So sorry, I probably went on a bit there.
It's all right, it's your time to talk about yourself. Dan, good luck topping that one.
I cannot top that one, not even close. I suppose my interest in baseball started back when I was a kid, actually. It was quite random. We just, some of my relatives went to America and brought back a bat and a ball and a few gloves for us. And me and my brother would just go down the field and we didn't know what we were doing at all. We'd just launch a ball at each other, essentially, and try and hit it. And that was kind of where me and my friends started out, just messing around. But I was always a footballer, so that was my sport and that was what I did until... probably about 8 years ago, broke my hand, was a goalkeeper, and had to stop playing, unfortunately. A couple of years later, I was at work, and one of the guys I work with overheard me moaning that I didn't have a sport to play anymore. He said, do you ever thought about trying baseball? I was like, well, yeah, actually. When's training? He completely forgot about it, and 3 months later, he comes up to me. Right, we're starting training in a week. Are you going to be there on Sunday? Yeah, of course. Oh, crap, yeah. And turned up, went along, almost walked straight back out the door because everyone looked like they knew what they were doing, and I was there in my jogging bottoms and my T-shirt without a clue in the world. And it was probably the best thing I decided to do was actually stick around and play. I did a few weeks of pre-season. We got into our first game. I absolutely loved it. Felt a little bit out of my depth most of the time, but sort of picked it up as I went along. A few mistakes here and there, but absolutely loved my first season. And this is, well, this will be my sixth, I suppose. Went from just playing first base to pitching and catching and infield and managing the Royals for the last, this will be the third year of doing that. And yeah, like I said, I can't top Martin's story, but that's basically mine.
So how did you go from player to coach and to manager, sorry, in such a short period of time?
Basically, I was interested in I've always wanted to do it in a sport, regardless of what sport it was going to be. I was always interested in doing it in football when I finished playing, but the opportunity never really arose for me. So when the team hit the end of the second season, the third season that I was there, the two managers in charge decided that they were going to do different things. They didn't want to do it anymore. And I just said, I'll do it. I've got no problem taking it on. I've got people that can help me, guide me through, and just said, I can organize people. I can do that. Just let me have a couple of people with me at all times who will point out when I'm messing things up, essentially. And that's what they did for the first year. And since then, as much as I will keep sending them lineups and questioning myself left, right and center about what we should do, they seem fairly happy with what I've been doing this last few years, thankfully.
Excellent. Martin, is your sort of journey to being co-manager been quite similar?
I think it probably reflects a lot of what Dan's described. You've not got to be a good or great player to be able to organise people. And you've not got to be a great tactician either if you've got good people around. So I think I had a spell as manager for, I think, 2016 season. And I was totally blindsided by being asked to do it. I'm like, well, I'm about the worst player here and I'm probably learning the most about the sport. But sometimes it's those different people's organisational skills. And I think, you know, and I'm sure from what Dan describes, it's very similar there. It's just because I'm manager and I like, you know, I'll talk about the lineups with people and, you know, we'll make a collective decision on it. There'll be someone else who knows better how to play first base, about how to pitch, about how to catch, about how to do everything. But management is just sort of, well, make sure those people are in the right places and make sure you have an atmosphere that says people are looking after each other, coaching each other in the right way, sharing that information to get better, rather than it's a really hierarchical, right, you know, and maybe, and it, you know, playing sports at higher levels, it perhaps needs more structure. But, you know, we don't, with what we do, it doesn't need that. You need to bring the best out of the people around you, you know, including the people who've played for 20 years who might be playing shortstop, you know, potentially as we'll have in one of our lineups for Sunday that we're kicking around. And I've, you know, someone playing short who's played ever since he was a kid with somebody who's only come training in the last 3 months. But you build an atmosphere that those people will help the others develop.
Lovely. Who would be its influences throughout your management tenure?
So, me or Dan? Who gets a chance to think about it?
Dan, then.
Oh, do you know what? My two biggest influences would be the two guys who've helped me actually do it, which are Josh Clegg and Sam Yarwood, who are two players with the Royals who I've known for a few years now since I started, and I wouldn't have got through the first season without them, essentially. So them two, basically. I know that's not the most like looking up to some superstar, but they are the two that have taught me all the sport, essentially, and how to deal with managing the team.
Well, the shout out, Martin.
I think it's similar for me in that, you know, I couldn't really relate to any kind of major league managers or whatever. I think there's people in some other sports who do some wonderful stuff, and you can certainly learn from them. But I think very much my journey, you know, it's kind of our Paul Rance, our club, who had faith in me to push me forward for doing this, and who coached me from being someone who couldn't throw to now someone who throws below average, I would perhaps say. Nick Russell, who's our Canadian pitcher, who's been around the club since the start. And probably as well, one of our players, Lewis Boyko, is relatively new to the team compared to the rest of us. Came up about four years ago. And I always remember getting a text while I was on a football bus going away day. So it was somebody, so like, Paul Rance has given me a number. I'm moving up from extra, I think it was, to play baseball. Oh, great, we've got another player. So he's like, oh, what positions do you play? And he's like, oh, right field and second base. And I'm like, my two positions, you're going to be better. But again, he's come in, and just everyone at the club does the bits, does what they can, and it's the stuff off the field as well. And I think those three, they just give so much all in a different ways, whether it's in a playing capacity, in an organisational capacity, in a leadership capacity. It makes it a very easy environment to grow in. I always say to our bright younger players, you know, all of this is stuff that you'll be able to do because you'll be starting. I started this sport, I guess, about 41, 42, and they're starting it 17, 18, 19. And if you've got that environment with people like that, that you can aspire to be like, then if you start at a young age, you're going to do great.
Yeah, I agree. So what are you guys doing to promote baseball and your clubs in the local areas? Dan, do you want to take that one first?
I mean, we do a lot of social media posts. We were recording our games for my first season in charge, and part of the second, it kind of fell by the wayside a little
we
bit.
Loved it.
I'm hoping to bring it back for this year, but it's a time commitment I just didn't have to edit them down after a little while. So hopefully this year I can bring that back. Like I said, we do the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I've done a couple of segments with the local radio, Cambridge 105, which has always been really good. They've always been really supportive of our team, and they, you know, they'll phone up on once a month or so just to check on results and how the team's going.
That's cool.
We've done a few open days in the past couple of years that we're hoping to repeat once this whole situation calms down a little bit and we can get back out there. I think, and just generally trying to do word of mouth, getting people to share it out and about, and a few flyer completely lost the word now.
like leaflets and stuff.
Yeah, leaflets, flyers and that up in shops and things like that, essentially. Just trying to, I think the biggest problem with our sport and our teams is that most people don't know we exist. And they don't know that baseball exists in this country for the most part. And I think that's the biggest obstacle that we've had to overcome, is trying to find a way to get ourselves out there. And luckily we've got a good group of people who are happy to help do that. And we've been able to grow from what one team when I started to four teams from next season. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Sure, we're going to touch on that momentarily. Martin?
I think Dan's absolutely right about the importance of it and getting word out that we exist, I think. I mean, we're very active. I think our Facebook page, we sort of maintain that really, really well. We also get match reports in the local paper. So I know that the sports editor is a Cobblers fan, so they had a kind of pre-existing kind of relationship, and they're more than happy to do it. And to be fair, we've got two of the guys that have joined us this year. One's a motorsports journalist, and he does rugby league for Sky Sports. So one of the jobs I really enjoy is doing the media, and I'm under serious pressure at the club, make no doubt about it, on that one, when I'm working with professionals. Because one thing I'm not is professional. So we do all of that. We've also worked quite hard. It's probably one that we've done really well at, is with schools. So we've had things on Paul has done a few of, they do summer games, where they have like a sports tournament between various schools. I'll practice different sports and then have a big finals day. And then Paul would look after the softball bit that they do. I've helped out with one of those in Leicester, and it's fantastic. So I think there's lots of places we can sort of, we can dig in. We do a little bit with radio and that, but it's almost, it's that kind of old media and new media. It's like the local paper. Well, unless they put it up on the website, you know, lots of our players will buy that paper because our match report's in there, but it's probably not reaching the people who we necessarily want to get to games.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you've got to do all of those things to raise awareness that people know you're serious about the sport you play and that it's there.
That's cool. Thank you very much. So let's get on to the clubs then. Dan, what can you tell us about the Cambridge Royals?
Well, when I started, when I started, the Royals were the AAA side originally. I think when I began, I was with the Monarchs, and the Royals were the AAA, sort of the Americans from the bases and the very experienced players. And then that fell by the wayside after a 1 year of me being there. So we just had the Monarchs for a year. In my second season, and then the following year we'd recruited enough to go back to two teams, so we brought back the Royals, both in single A. Both did fairly well that season. The Monarchs got through to the semi-finals of the playoffs, if I remember rightly, and then I think the year after that we jumped back up to the Monarchs in double A, Royals in single A, and then following year we've brought in the Lancers as well at single A, who joined Central last season. And now we've got the Royals, the Lancers, the Monarchs at double A, and from next season we'll have the Valkyries, which are going to be the women's team in the newly formed BBF league. So that's basically our club in a nutshell at the moment.
How long have they been in operation for?
I believe there was a, and I've got to try and remember this, there was a team back in the 90s,
yeah,
which Gary Liston, our lifetime president and Hall of Famer, as he will happily tell you, always reminds me that he started the team and he was there from the get-go and back in the 90s heyday and, oh, it weren't like this back in my day and all of that sort of stuff. And he brought it back, I think, a couple of years before I joined, which would be probably about 8 years or so ago, I think. I'm not 100% on that, but that's when he roughly brought it back. And so the team in its current state, the team that I joined originally has probably been around for 7 or 8 years.
That's cool. So what can you tell us about the Valkyries? I know there's a lot of buzz and excitement around the women's baseball league that's been formed. Has it been quite difficult to get off the ground, or was there a lot of interest?
I can't speak for other teams, but I think we're probably one of the few teams in the country that could field a nine tomorrow if we absolutely had to. The last couple of seasons, the female recruitment has been quite amazing. Really, we went from there being no female players to 8-9 here now. In fact, I think judging by the players that have come in during this lockdown, I think we're up to about 12 or 13 now. So we do have a squad there, or the beginnings of a squad. I think everyone's really looking forward to it. The nice thing is with the league being on the Saturday, everyone will want to stay in the mixed teams and play in this women's league as well. So it's going to work out perfectly for everyone. More game time for everyone. And maybe it will encourage a few female players that maybe wouldn't have thought that the sport's not really promoted towards them or hasn't been in the past. And we've completely done away with that and made sure that everyone knows that it's for anyone and everyone. If you come and join our team, you get the chance to play where you want to play. We're never going to look at it that you can't possibly play there. That's not going to happen. And every girl who's joined our team has proven that. They have been absolutely fantastic for us. And I think the formation of this league is just going to allow them to have something really good to aim for with the national team. There's a good chance that some of our players might find their way into that, and that would just be incredible from where we all started. And I just think we're all really excited about it, and I can't wait for it to start next year, to be honest.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So what's your secret then? What's your secret to getting all these women involved?
I have not got a clue. I won't lie. We don't know. We promote as much as we can. Like I said, we went from there being none to where we are now in a matter of 3 or 4 years, I suppose. I must admit, I dragged my fiance along a few years ago, and she got involved, and it seemed to pick up from there. I think the nice thing is if you turn up to our training, you see the other women playing there, and they're playing the roles that they want to play. And I think if you see that when you're turning up as a new player, you know that you're going to get your opportunity. And I think that makes a big difference than maybe some teams where you're going out into right field for this game. Or I went down to the women's championship game last year, and the amount of girls who said, you know, you say, where do you play? Oh, right field. Or, I get an inning here or there. And it's not right. You know, they should be playing, and they proved how good they were in that game. They've proved how good they are for our team, and it's been brilliant to see, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, sounds amazing. Well,
could I as kind of historic opponents of Cambridge and playing them over, can only back up what Dan says. What Cambridge have done, even before the formation of Valkyries, it is massive for women's participation in sport. You know, it helps us when we've had individual female players probably every season, but what we've not managed to, I think, is almost that critical mass. It feels of if we get to a point where we've got Sophie Willis, who's a really talented cricketer, rugby player, playing for us this season, who's 18. It feels like if we got two or three women players, it would suddenly feel a much more welcoming place for women. I think what Cambridge have done, it's an object lesson to every club. I think I only really see Guildford nationally on social media who seem to really promote and push it in the way that Cambridge do. But it's not just promotion. It is, you play against them, you know, you will see female players all around the park, including pitching. And that's the way forward. Because if we're excluding half the population of the country, we can't be serious about building a sport.
No, that's true. That's true. That's really good. Very interesting. Thank you for that, gentlemen. That's very insightful. So, Martin, what do you want to tell us then about the Centurions?
So, probably a shorter history. There's kind of rumours of teams in Northampton before then. We haven't got the detail. There's certainly a bloke who walks his dog up there who's told me that he played in the 60s or 70s. But as far as I can go back, 2013, a couple of guys, Paul Rance, who's kind of president of the club, and Mark Faulkner, who I think is Stourbridge-based, they called some kind of a public meeting type thing, just put the word out, we're going to start a baseball team. Out of that, I started training, played a couple of friendlies in 2013, got themselves the really smart kit the next year. And suddenly look from playing in yellow t-shirts to in this kind of fairly unique claret with gold sleeves that looks, you know, I'm obviously biased, but it looked the business. And I then played in the single A or double A, I can't remember how it was, split single A, but we were at the lowest level in the south. That was hard yards because there was a lot of travelling and the gulfs between the teams, this being my first season, you're playing 9 innings, and this probably helps speak to the evolution of where we've got to as the East of England Baseball League. You're playing 9-inning games, and they could be fun. We played a game up at Stourbridge where I think we went from 10-2 down to 12-2 up to losing 24-20, which was absolutely brilliant. But most nine-inning games you played, one team ran all over the other, and it was horrible because by an inning in, that was your day. You knew you're 30-0 down after one. Well, great, that's my baseball done for the week. So that was tough, but we persevered with it. But come 2017, so we played at this in this kind of structure for a few years. Come 2017, we kind of formed the central base, basically. So still part of the BBF, but with a relative degree of independence. So we had a single A and double A. So there was teams from Cambridge, Northants, Milton Keynes, Leicester, Long Eaton, Birmingham and Stourbridge. What was probably key there that I think has probably helped the evolution of all that, or certainly Northants and Cambridge, was between, there was kind of three of us that devised the rules. There was kind of Matt Crawshaw at Cambridge. There was Mike Hayward at Long Eaton and myself that sort of started with the ideas. The thing what we came up with was rules about how do we make the game more enjoyable. So we came up with 5-run limit for every inning. So it doesn't matter if one team's better than the other. We got rid of the kind of mercy rules. Right, just hammer someone by enough and we'll call it a day, which is just the most... It's probably, if people used to it, I understand why they did it, but it made no sense to me as a relatively new player. So we have if we have a 5-run limit, then everyone's going to get to bat. Everyone should get to bat twice in a 2-hour game. We time limited our games and just had an unlimited over at the over inning at the end that said, right, if a game's close, then you're not going to lose out because it was it was limited. We limited pitchers to, they could pitch a complete game or 5 innings across the day. And those couple of rules sort of, they revolutionised the game for us. It made it really competitive, but if you had a couple of really good players, they could only play so much of a part in it. And it basically great season. We had a great season in 2017. We kind of had all our best players available, and we ran away with the league that year and got to the single A semi-finals nationally. But I think more important than that, it was we'd established a kind of brand, a way of playing baseball that was the way to go. Now, unfortunately, after that, we had a couple of teams came. Bristol came in and didn't really fit with our double A teams. They were a lot better because it was far away. I think after Stourbridge went down there and got an absolute shoo-in, all the teams in the Midlands just kind of forfeited their games down there, which didn't do Bristol any good. But when Bristol came up here, they were walking all over people. So that didn't help. And a few other things happened. We had teams in the Stourbridge effectively morphed into about 3 teams and established the West Midlands Baseball League, who were doing kind of great stuff independently. And that sort of took us to kind of last season. And I remember Dan approached myself initially and I said, look, we've been talking with Norwich. We've got some thoughts around the future. And we were, of all the teams, I think it was very much in seasons where you might be getting a hammering at some places and you might, you would look forward to playing Cambridge because they play it in the right way. So with Dan saying, we're thinking of going in this direction, it wasn't a very hard job for me to talk to Rancy and Nick and the leadership class. Say, look, this is going to be worth listening. And to be fair, we didn't hesitate. We've been involved from the start. We kind of think, you know, that trying to sound like an evangelist, we've got a way of playing baseball that means you can recruit people to play our sport. And we're recruiting, you know, some really good cricketers, rugby players, getting to play a sport that's fun, but where there's also a pathway to playing at a higher level. And I think, you know, I said it at BBF conference, I think last one we were at, got to give up these old ways. We've got to be thinking about what's getting people into playing, what's making our sport fun. Because if it's not fun, it's fine for you as a 40-year-old bloke who can, you know, hit any pitcher at this level, but you ain't important. What's important is Sophie at our club, Jack at our club, the new people walking into Cambridge. It's that's what it's about. It's not about trophies on some old bloke's mantelpiece. Sorry, rant over.
Sorry, I'm just very aware of that we're coming towards the end of the show and our self-imposed curfew. I always like to leave the final word open to the guests. And before we go on to that, we just thank you so much for some great insight into two clubs in the East of England Baseball League. Dan, the floor is yours. Anything you want to say before we go? Any shout-outs, any parting words?
Just basically a big shout to all of the players at the Cambridge that have made it essentially possible for me to enjoy it as much as I have these last few years. I wasn't sure how the management role was going to go, and they have definitely made it worthwhile all the time. So that would be my big shout out. If anyone's listening in the area and you want to come and try out, then, well, I say try out, you'll get a game. So come down and get involved. Everyone is more than welcome to come and do it. Carry on.
I was going to say, where can we find the Royals on social media?
If you go, just type in Cambridge Baseball Club on Facebook. We've got Cams Baseball at Twitter, and I think it's Cams Baseball at Instagram as well, on Instagram as well. So if you want to check any of them out, you're more than welcome to.
Thank you very much. Martin?
I think Dan's done that really well. Pretty much, I'd say all the people I've played baseball with and against, especially at Cambridge. I mean, we've got our rivals kind of the West in Birmingham. We had a great time. There's so many good people in this sport. I think we owe it to them and ourselves and our clubs to be building, doing the stuff like Cambridge are doing with recruitment. I think Northampton, what we've done really well is our stuff with schools that Brancy's headed up, and our kind of recruitment feels good. But everybody, just get involved. Get involved. We need to get the message out there that our clubs are there and they're welcoming environments where you can come and play sport at a decent level and most importantly enjoy yourself. And no one's gonna laugh at you if you struggle to throw. No one's laughing because you don't turn up in the right kit. It's supportive environments. It's great sport. It's fun. We just all need to work harder and smarter at getting that message out there. But what we've got, and I'm thrilled, just waiting for the word to come through that we can start, so that, we can play hopefully friendlies this Sunday. If not, we've got Brentwood coming up for their first ever visit in Northants next week. Can't wait when we get over to Cambridge the week after. It's going to be brilliant.
That's great. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time again. And I hope that whatever happens to the East of England Baseball League, I hope that both teams are successful. You're the only two teams that I've on there so far, so I can't pick my favourite yet because I've not interviewed the others, but I wish you all the best luck. Martin and Dan, all the best. Take care.
Brilliant. Cheers, Matt.
Yeah,
cheers, Dan.
For having us on.
See you in a couple of weeks, Dan.
Most definitely.